Well, good morning. Good morning, my friends. Welcome as we gather for worship this morning. It's always fun on a summer Sunday to see a congregation gather, and it's such a beautiful day. So I hope we come with good wishes, good thoughts, ready to meet our God as God meets us in this place. As we gather, we'll take a moment for some announcements. I am Pastor Fred, and along with Sonny and Pastor Hannah, we're here to help lead all of us in worship today. Let's see. First announcement that was given to me this morning is in regard to the book signing and the Pentecost cake and celebration. It's going to be in the fellowship hall and not out in the parlor. And then the second announcement concerns the upcoming auction. We need helpers to carry items from the various places where they've been stored to the site of the auction. And I understand that that work is going to happen right after worship. And who's going to take charge of that? You want to raise your hands. Hannah's going to be there to kind of rally the troops and others, be looking for them. And you know, a lot of hands make light work. Are there other announcements that people have to share this morning? I invite you to come forward if you have them. Or then let me also offer a couple of my own. As we get familiar with each other, one of the things I really appreciate on worship times is to have laity help lead worship, either reading scripture or other parts of liturgy. From time to time, we'll try to maybe do some creative moments with worship. If any of you are interested and willing to help as a reader or work with the whatever we might create, please be sure to contact me or write it a note and put in the offering that we'll have today. And the second announcement is, as I come to get familiar with all of you, I want you to know I really am interested in getting to know you. I'm very open to visiting with you, either in your home or here at the office or some other wonderful place here in Ames. So if you would really like to have a chance to visit and allow us to get to know each other, please again call the office, and with the help of the staff, we'll all try to get connected here as the summer goes on. Summer finds all of us traveling in many different directions, but I have also found that summer can be really a wonderful, fruitful time for people to connect and to get acquainted. So please hear that invitation. I'm here. I'm wanting to get to know your story as you get to know mine. So please be mindful of that. With all of that said, let the bell ring us further into this time of worship. If you're able to stand, I invite you to do so and join in this call to worship. Oh, brothers and sisters, the winds of the Spirit are starting to move. Be ready to be amazed and astonished. The Spirit is here, speaking to us and through us. Spirit ever dwelling in the holiest realms of light. Holy Spirit ever moving through a world of wrong and right. Holy Spirit
Spirit ever raising earthbound souls to glory high. Living life imparting Spirit, you we praise and magnify. Holy Spirit, ever breathing on the church your breath of life. Holy Spirit, ever weaving through your people's daily lives. Holy Spirit, ever forming in the church the mind of Christ. In our worship and our working, you we praise and magnify. Holy Spirit, ever working through your church's ministries, quickening, strengthening, and absolving, setting captive sinners free. Holy Spirit, ever binding age to age and soul to soul, in community unending, you we worship and extol.
With one voice, let us pray. God of wind and fire, we experience you in an endless palette, a life-giving rainbow of hope and joy. When we, like the first disciples, look at life around us and wonder where is hope, remind us of your presence and infuse us with your Spirit that it might dance forever in our souls. Amen. You may be seated. And let us move into this time of confession. May these words be words that speak to all of us, and may these words speak to the church as we live in this age. Loving God, your Spirit is all around us, refreshing us, giving us energy and hope, and yet too often we do not see it, being caught up in our day-to-day affairs. Hear us as we come to you in a moment of confession. Oh God, hear the honesty of our hearts as we tell you we're sorry for the times we ignore you. Come to us again, filling us with your Spirit of newness. Challenge and equip us to live our lives with your Spirit at the very center and to share your Spirit with others. As once again this community has been rocked by gun violence, just as so many other communities around our nation have, and as the news continues to tell us about the war in Ukraine, O Lord, have mercy. My friends, hear this good news from Scripture. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Know that as adopted children of God, you have new and everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us stand and exchange our words and signs of affection and peace this day. And now I invite us to gather back together, although I think one of the best noises in a church is the noise of people greeting each other. Hey, youth that are out there, hey, youth, come on up this morning with the children, will you please? Let us join in our Holly Holly. Children and youth, come on up and join us. Holly, holly, hallelujah. Holly, holly, hallelujah. Holly, holly, hallelujah. Hallelujah,
pretty scary up here. Good morning, everybody. This morning, I'm wondering, what's the best birthday gift you have ever received? Wow, you guys. Anyone? Celia. Celia got underwear once. Girl. I'm going to have to talk to your mom and dad. They need to change the way you do birthdays at your house. Anyone else ever receive an awesome birthday gift? Miss Sunny, have you?
Yeah, my bicycle.
A bicycle. When I was a little bit younger than you are now. Anyone else ever received an awesome birthday gift? Pastor Fred, have you?
Yeah.
Wow. Pastor Fred received a stereo system when he was 16, just a few years ago when he turned 16. Yeah. Well, today is very exciting because today is sort of like a birthday for the church. So in a few minutes, you're going to hear Pastor Fred read a passage about how all the people that were coming together kind of after Easter, right, decided that they wanted to be together and to worship God together and sort of follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so that's how they created the church. And that's why we wear red. And you'll even see on Pastor Fred's stole, the story is super weird. There's like the Holy Spirit, which comes in wind. There's flames. That's why we wear red. We have red banners. It's all part of the birthday. And here's the best part about Pentecost is after church, we get to eat cake. In the fellowship hall. Does anyone not like cake? Because I have a kid at my house who does not like cake. And she's weird, really weird. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for chances to just celebrate and be together and fellowship as well as worship. And be with us today as we celebrate not only your church, but this church family. And all God's kids say, my non-cake-eating child is turning 6 tomorrow, and we were told not to have cake. Okay. Our first scripture for today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. "How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have to say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be with you."
I told Hannah there wasn't a lot of difficult words in the scriptures this morning for her to read, but boy, that gospel lesson, there's sure a lot of male language in there, isn't there? And it's really kind of hard to understand itself. Oh, hear these words now. And let's try something this morning. Those of you that kind of think you have high voices, will you raise your hands? Okay, yeah, all of you. All you're going to, you're not going to have to. Can you all do like a, can you, those with lower voices? Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Marie, make it louder. Now make it softer. Keep it going, keep it going. Keep it going. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under the heaven living in Jerusalem. And the sound, the loud sound, the gathered community was bewildered because each one of them heard each speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed. They were perplexed. "What does this mean?" Others sneered. "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "O people of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they're not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9:30 or so in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Oh, youth and science fiction friends, you know, it's all so amazing, this time of Pentecost. Birth. Birth is a messy and mysterious process. We've all been through it, but we know so little about it. That kind of sentiment, I think, sets the stage for a pretty good sermon about Pentecost. All of the mess, all of this mystery of Acts chapter 2 makes a little more sense, at least for me, when you and I remember that in essence, this is a story about birth. Ours, church. Today, we recall and we revisit the mighty acts of God that brought us forth, the church, universal, into the world. But this birth story has one little twist. It's not over yet. What starts in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost goes on and on and on and on. God is not finished with us. That's good news. We're still being born. Like most stories, this one begins with a long period of waiting. The book of Acts opens by remembering the resurrection of Jesus. And if you were here last week, you know, it tells us again about that short, strange season when the risen Christ would just kind of drop in on the disciples from time to time. But when the day finally comes for the risen one to leave them on their own, the disciples gather together and they get their final instructions. You are to be my witnesses. And then they go back to Jerusalem and wait. They trudge back into the city. They climb the stairs to that cramped upper room. They settle down and they start to wait for whatever comes next. Now, they don't know exactly what they're waiting for. They have no idea what God has in store. And so the days must have seemed to move along so tediously. They may not realize it, but in this time of waiting, their birth has already begun. Now, the day of Pentecost dawns just like any other day. They're together. They pray and they wait. And they wait. But today will not end like all the other days. A violent wind, tongues of fire, everyone filled with the Holy Spirit, everyone speaking in strange and different dialects. It's a messy, mysterious, and very loud thing. Everything we would expect a birth to be. And all the while, just down the stairs, an unknowing world has no idea what the Spirit of God is about to bring forth. But even that's about to change. I've sometimes compared this first century festival of Pentecost to the Iowa State Fair. But this year I kind of been thinking about it and thinking it's more like a huge downtown farmers market in the summer, kind of like the one in Des Moines. Because you see, our ancestors, the day of Pentecost, they were in Jerusalem attending a spring harvest festival. It brought thousands of people into the center of the city, and they're all celebrating the return of warm weather. All of them are kind of seeking a first century equivalent to fresh asparagus and breakfast burritos. And according to the account in Acts, all sorts of people have come to town for this festival. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and on, devout and faithful Jews from every known part of the world. Of course, they can't help but hear all of the clatter and ruckus that comes with the church's birth. Rushing to the scene in amazement, they find these illiterate backwater peasants, these Galilean hillbillies, speaking all at the same time in every known language. The crowd doesn't know what to think. Some simply scoff and say, "Oh, happy hour came early today." Others have enough sense to stop and ponder what it all might mean. And they don't have to ponder too long. Just 15 minutes old, the newborn speaks its very first words. Peter stands up to preach. And the sermon opens on a less than promising note with I think, recorded history's lamest. A defense against the charge of public intoxication. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But it gets better from there. A whole lot better. "What you see and hear today," says Peter, "is easily explained. God keeps promises. Centuries ago, through the prophet Joel, God promised a day when the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, sons and daughters alike, the old as well as the young. Today that promise comes true. Today the Spirit shows up. Or to put it another way, happy birthday to us. On Pentecost, the church is born." But remember, it's a story that has a twist. It didn't end there and then. It's not yet ended. What began on Pentecost continues to this very day. We know this in part from reading the rest of the book of Acts. It's the story of the church still being born, still being brought forth by a loving God. When we picked up the story at the beginning of chapter 2, the new church consisted completely of the same kind of people, Jewish Galilean peasants, all of them talking and eating and thinking and living exactly alike. But from the movement of the Spirit of God, those folks are sent as the newborn church out into Jerusalem's streets, where the church must confront other kinds of people, different kinds of people. We're told that 3,000 newcomers will join the church when Peter's sermon concludes. 3,000 plucked from the complex and colorful crowd assembled on that day of Pentecost. Before the sun has set on its very first day, the church has already become far more diverse than those disciples would have ever dared to dream. But God is just getting started. The rest of the book of Acts tells one long story of a church being born. Again and again, the Spirit pushes the church, throwing it beyond its comfort zone, out into the world to encounter and to embrace all sorts of strange people. By the end of the book of Acts, the church has become a bewildering collection of people who used to have nothing in common. Acts may end, but the labor of God goes on. Just look around. Here we all are, these centuries later, and God has not given up yet. In every generation, the Spirit has strained and struggled, picked and prodded, pushed and pushed and pushed to bring forth the church that God knows can be. God's not finished with us. We're still being born. So it should come as no surprise that life in the church can sometimes be a real challenge. Life in the church can be a struggle. Just look at the history. Christians have a habit of fighting with each other. We always have. Sometimes we fight and argue about fairly petty things like color of carpet or the kind of rolls that ought to be served at coffee hour. But sometimes our fights have been awfully important. Slavery, civil rights, social justice, religious freedom, the role of women, the place of LGBTQ persons, the segregation of church and state. When it comes to fights, we've had more than our fair share. But these are the birth pangs. These are the labor pains and the price of bringing us to life. And time again and again, in conflict after conflict, a more faithful church emerges. We strain, struggle, because a better church is being born. Oh, I know it's not easy, this whole business of being born. But just imagine what it must be like for God. And still God sticks with us. God is steadfast. God refuses to quit. God will never give up on us until love's labor is accomplished, until the church of God's dreams comes forth at last. I have a hunch, a suspicion, that quite a few of us perhaps don't really know what we're doing here at Ames United Church of Christ. And I'm not talking just about the staff. A lot of us wandered in here, inside this building, for one reason or another. But we're still not really sure we want to stay. Others of us have been here for a very long time. Some of us have been here for so long that we no longer remember why we're here. So what are you doing here this morning? Let me offer a possible answer. You can try it on for size. You are here to help. God has an idea, an image, a dream of what the church could be, a truly inviting, welcoming, inclusive, loving, and beloved community where peace and justice are pursued, where enemies become friends, where everyone has a seat at the table, where everyone is doing their very best to try to love God and love neighbor. That's God's plan for us, but we're not fully or wholly there yet. And maybe we never will be until you find your place, until you play your part in God's unfolding design. Maybe we can never be fully born without you. Think it over. Take your time. But know this, there is already a place set for you at this table. You are already welcome here. But you have to be careful. At this table, at this baptismal font, in this sacred space, in this holy sanctuary, we can get swept up in something so much greater than ourselves. When we break bread, when we share the cup, when we touch the water or feel the water upon us, when we sing and pray, when we actually look and talk to each other about what God is doing in our lives, God's great labor of love goes on in us. We are busy being born, and the best is yet to come. Pentecost is happening. Wherever the church, with its message of justice and love, is reaching out to bridge gaps of language and culture and race, even religion, there is where Pentecost is happening. Wherever men and women, young and old, are taking risks for love and for justice, acting in spite of their fear, living in a way that offers the world even a tiny glimpse of what the world can be like when God is in charge, there is where Pentecost is happening. Wherever the church is becoming more diverse in its peoples, its forms of communications, its outreach, its ministries, there is where Pentecost is happening. Wherever Christ is made more visible, wherever Christ is made more visible as the incarnate love of God, wherever love is made more real, and its triumph over the power of sin and death is proclaimed, wherever the power of God is embodied in lives, and wherever social systems are being transformed, there is where Pentecost is happening. And my friends, it happens every day. God feeds us every day, sustains us every day, supports us every day in the ongoing struggle for justice and peace. Wherever people gather and God's love is announced through the cleansing waters of baptism, wherever bread is broken and cup is shared, wherever lives are touched by the word of God, and gathered people disperse with a real determination to live lives that are more faithful, Pentecost is happening. The church is being born. It's being born anew. Happy Pentecost. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wing it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, strength to me impart. You as I ought to love. I ask no dream, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rending of the veil of clay, no angel visitant, no opening skies, but take the dimness of my soul away. Have you not bid me love you, O my Lord? All your own soul, heart, and strength and mind. I see your cross there, teach my heart to stay. Oh, let me seek you, and oh, let me find. Teach me to feel that you are always near. Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer. Teach me to love you as your angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the heavenly descended dove. My heart an altar and your love the flame.
And now we move into this time of prayers, our prayers of intersection. Are there those of you this morning with prayer requests? If so, Greg will come around with the microphone here.
Hi, this is Laura Deal, and I want prayers of thanks for all your prayers and the healing that is happening with my sister-in-law. Diane Deal had her surgery on Wednesday, and her white count is really right back up in normal range, first time in years.
This is Krista Anderson, and first of all, I'd like to give a shout out to Vaughn Speer. 2 weeks ago, he spoke to us about planning to meet the last person in his graduating class from Milford, Iowa, I think, but that person sadly passed away. Well, yesterday, I went to my all-school reunion in Center Point, Iowa, and my class had the second most people come for the reunion. There were 17 of us. Now, we were a class of 46, so. But anyway, I did my utmost to go to everybody I could find from my class and probably other classes too. And I figured some stuff out. Number one, all those people I didn't think were that nice back in high school, they seem to have grown up and matured and become nicer. I'm sure they've changed a lot. I mean, of course, I haven't. I was always nice, maybe. But it was just a wonderful experience. And Vaughn gave me, I think, the nudge that I needed to go. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Allison. We had a wedding in our family yesterday, so my great-niece, Callie, and her husband, Trevor, newlywed. So.
Hi, I'm Charles. This afternoon at 3 o'clock in Grinnell, at the Grinnell UCC, there will be an ordination service for Henry Reitz. And if you know, for the church to keep going, we do like, and I think our tradition likes educated clergy. And so it's good to have someone finish and to welcome a new person on Pentecost.
Hi, I'm Terry Potter. Prayers for the Martin family. Krista had mentioned in previous Sundays that we had a friend, Harold Martin, who was very sick. He most recently went into Israel Hospice House, and died this past week. So prayers for the Martin family.
This is Nancy. Prayers for the families who lost loved ones at Cornerstone this week.
Okay, on the Zoom, they all want to give a shout out to Jason Paul because the audio is working very well today. So Jason and Ken have done a lot. Yes. Glenda and her husband Andy are celebrating 29 years of wedded bliss today. And Debbie asked us to pray last week for her mammogram, which came out clear this week. So prayers of thanksgiving for that.
Let us gather all those that have been spoken and all those that are in our hearts, and let's take them to God in prayer. O God of all creation, God of an ending love and mercy, God who sends forth the Spirit to bind up the wounded and to help make us whole, O God, we offer first prayers of healing. We give you thanks for the ways that you are at work with your healing power in Laura's sister-in-law. And we remember and lift up in prayers Trudy, who's recovering from a fall, and Peyton and Pete. We remember all those this day who need your healing in body, mind, and spirit. Touch them as that great physician and bring them to wholeness. Oh God, we pray for those who are mourning this day. Their grief is so real. We pray for the Harold Martin family. And we most surely pray for the families of those who were killed at Cornerstone this week. We pray for all our loved ones that we remember in this moment. We pray for all those who are in the midst of grief, knowing, O God, that you will be the light that leads us along our way. We also lift up our prayers of joy. We give you thanks in this summertime season of weddings, anniversaries. Oh God, continue to strengthen the love that lives and remind us that you made us to be loving creations. And we give you thanks for class reunions and family gatherings. We give you thanks for laughter and for good times. We give you thanks for the ways that you do help us to grow up and to mature. And we thank you for each of us who are here today and those who are online and those anywhere who might be thinking of us. And especially we thank you for the talented gifts of those among us. And we thank you for Jason and his work to help us become more tech savvy as a congregation. Oh, we thank you for music that stirs our souls and can touch our spirits and can continue to bring us to life. With this, we give you thanks and we give you praise as we pray as Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, my friends, God shows us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of nature, in the unconditional love of Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Spirit, I hope you know as you sit here today, God has blessed you. God has blessed you and blessed this community so that we might bless others through the sharing of our gifts and our tithes. So let us rejoice now in what we've been given, and let us share in this time of offering. May what we share be multiplied for the ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth. Amen. Amen. Let us stand now and enjoy. Prepare to leave as we sing this hymn, Spirit of Gentleness.
Spirit.
silence, whole world was still. And down in the city, you called once again. When you blew through the people on the rush of a wind. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, stir me from pleasantness, wind, wind on the sea. These words of Jesus, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as this world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Amen and amen.